time for the Lunch Rush. We take a look at the top stories trending nationally in the sports world. The Philadelphia Eagles are not ruling Jalen Hurts out against the Cowboys coming up. Sirianni called Hurts one of the toughest players he knows and someone who heals fast. But it's fairly, significant game, I suppose, for Philadelphia, is it? They're 13-1. The Vikings are 11-3. They haven't locked done anything up yet, have they? They just clinched the playoff berth. They're going to be at least a top two seed, but it's a fairly important game for the Eagles if they want to lock down that first round bye and that number one seed. So obviously Jalen Hurts gives you the best chance to do that, and you're going up against one of your rivals who also locked up playoffs in the Dallas Cowboys. So do you chance it here? Do you risk it? I mean, you want the first round bye. If you lose this game against the Cowboys, then you'd be 13-2. And then if the Vikings can win, they're 12-3. And they're one game out with 2 weeks remaining. So there still is a chance. The Vikings, probably not the Niners, but the Vikings could overtake that number one spot. So you're playing for a first round bye, which would give Jalen Hurts a break.
Right. You get the break and you also get home field advantage throughout the playoffs in Philly in January. That
which you really want.
Weather. Or would you rather say, hey, we could play in Dallas in their stadium or in Minnesota in their stadium? So it's up to you. I wouldn't risk it, if it's a throwing shoulder. No, don't risk it.
Well, and who do the Minnesota Vikings play? The Vikings play the Giants. And this is the Vikings. I'm sorry, Brian.
The Vikings are still a team.
Even though they just completed. Sorry, Brian Gary. I love you, but this Vikings team just completed the biggest comeback in NFL history.
Can't do that without being behind.
Yeah. Couldn't you see them now fall flat on their face to the Giants on Christmas Eve?
Yep.
I actually could. I mean, so if I'm the Eagles, I'm playing that game right now. I'm saying, all right, we can still lose two games.
I think the Giants are still fighting for playoff
spot. Giants are fighting for a playoff spot. You're absolutely right. This is a monster Christmas weekend, dude. Monster. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. It's going to be fantastic. I'm off next week, so I'm going to have a blast, dude. It's going to be great. So I don't know. I probably wouldn't play him. I think I'd take the safer route and not go with that. But that's me. Damian Lillard becomes Trailblazers' all-time leading scorer. Does the name Clyde Drexler mean anything to you, Angel? I was a big Clyde Drexler fan. And not because I necessarily watched a lot of his basketball, because I was a little too young, right when he was kind of on his way out. But I was a major basketball card collector. And I have had so many Clyde Drexler cards that are relatively worthless, that I finally just sold and got rid of because it was taking up space. But I love Clyde Drexler. Damian Lillard just passed Clyde Drexler to become the franchise's all-time leading scorer Monday night against OKC. Does that name ring a bell to you?
Drexler?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Just want to make sure.
I never watched him, but I know.
You know of him.
I know the 90s era NBA.
Yeah, played in 83 and 95 for the Trailblazers. He had 18,000-plus points in 867 games. So, good for Damian Lillard, man. He's one of my favorites to watch. I hate watching him when he plays the Nuggets, though. I just can't stand him. But any other time, I love Dame time. I'm all in.
Will he ever get a title? Is he just Chris Paul 2.0?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Do you look at that team? Does that team...
He won't do it in Portland, I know that.
No, not unless they go get a piece or two. The Nuggets have a way better chance because they're superstars surrounded by semi-stars. Who's a semi-star for Portland? Nurk?
Maybe.
Okay, I don't see it. I don't, and that's
sad.
I think
their best window was back when they had Dame and CJ.
Yes, they had the best guards. The best kind of the best guard combo. I just don't see it. I'm looking. And that sucks because Damian Lillard's one the kind of the one guy that does it the right way. You know, he's loyal and he's stuck it out, and he knows that. He even says it. He's like, I'm sticking it out. I am going to be with this team. They have, I mean, look at the starting line. Jeremy Grant. Okay, let me ask you this question. At point guard, Damian Lillard, taking him. Shooting guard, Anthony Simmons or Michael Porter Jr.? Or no, excuse me, Jamal Murray. No, who do they play at shooting guard? Is it Porter? Yeah, it's Porter. He's been out so long, I'm lost. It's Murray at point guard, Porter at shoot. No, Bruce. Should KCP. Be.
Yeah, KCP.
Good Lord.
So those three-letter names.
Either way.
Confused.
Who would you rather have? Anthony Simmons or KCP slash Bruce Brown slash between one of those two guys? Anthony Simmons or KCP?
KCP.
Anthony Simmons or Bruce Brown?
Bruce.
Okay, and then there's small forwards, Josh Hart. Who would you take? Him or a healthy Michael Porter Jr.?
Healthy Michael.
Power forward, Jeremy Grant or Aaron Gordon?
Easily AG.
Yusuf Nurkic or Nikola Jokic?
I mean, we had that debate already.
And Denver had
somebody
that debate.
Won that trade.
Somebody won that. And you look at their backups. I mean, again, it's not like they're a bad team, but they're not a championship team. Damian Lillard averages 28 points per game. Anthony Simmons is sitting at 23. Jeremy Grant's at 22, and then it's everybody else. So you have Yusuf Nurkic, who averages 10 boards per game. But no, as far as these guys go, I mean, Anthony Simmons is a good player. He is. You know, but is that a guy that's going to... I look at Joker's compliments, and Aaron Gordon's a compliment. Once you get Michael Porter Jr. going... that's going to be a huge compliment to what you're doing. Bruce Brown's been a huge, huge addition to the Nuggets. I don't know. It's kind of sad to think about it because I root for guys like him, for Damian Lillard. I really do. And I actually like Yusuf Nurkic. You know, I liked him here in Denver. I really wanted it to work out. Those were the dark days for Denver. They had some rough seasons when he was starting to get into the fold. But no, I don't think so. Unfortunately for them... they started off pretty hot, though. Matt Ishba finalizing Suns purchase for $4 billion. Whew. $4 billion? How much was the Broncos? Wasn't that right around there? Billionaire mortgage lender Matt Ishba, I think, is finalizing a purchase of the Phoenix Suns and WNBA's Mercury for a record price. Okay, throw both of them in. For $4 billion. So he's buying both. The Broncos were $4 billion, wasn't it?
4.65.
I was going to say, you're telling me that the Suns, it's more expensive than the Broncos? No way. But they're adding the WNBA's Mercury on there. Not sure how much that team is. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Big game tonight in the NBA. As the Denver Nuggets play host to the Grizzlies. Angel, I have a feeling Jamal Murray's going off tonight. I just feel like his trends right now are great game, disappear for two or three. Great game, disappear. This game's on TNT tonight. It's against Ja Morant and a prospect of MVP in Ja Morant. And I think he might have a little extra juice for games like this. Ja Morant's a Twitter monster right now. Obviously, he's a stud ball player. He's one of the best players in the league, but he's all over Twitter. He's complimenting the Joker. He tweeted out Joker's stat line. Like, he's like, this is crazy. If I'm Jamal Murray, I'm looking at that going, dude, I want to get into the party here. I think Jamal's going off tonight. Whatever that over-under is, I could see him breaking open 20 plus tonight, at least. And that's not necessarily going off. 20 plus, though, given the last few nights, he's been nowhere. I could see him going to town tonight. Should be a really fun game.
Should be. It's going to be a lot of fun. Just it feels like when the Nuggets don't have a game, it's just like the longest break in between games. Because what, they play on Friday or Saturday?
No, they played Saturday.
They played Sunday night.
Sunday against the Hornets.
Charlotte, so... you know, a big national TV game, another one for them. Get the whole country watching Jokic. Ja Morant, obviously, he's just a big-time player. David Roddy, in terms of local support, that's going to be fun to see him.
No, there'll be a lot of Rams fans down there tonight.
Excited.
And you have Steven Adams. I've always liked watching Steven Adams. How does he kind of somewhat contain a Nikola Jokic? I don't know. That's it. Part of me just thinking, man, this is a good night for Jamal Murray. David Roddy, though. Let's see what he does. That's exciting. 12:16 the time. We're going to talk about the Avs. The Avs get a nice win last night. And the talk kind of is Cale Makar's like freaking Honest Abe, man. I mean, he does. No, that guy didn't commit a penalty. No way. Crazy story. Interesting story. We'll talk to Kyle Fredrickson about it next. Short break coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. My guest now joining us on our First Advantage Hotline, Colorado Avalanche beat writer at the Denver Gazette, Kyle Fredrickson, our Avs insider. Kyle, well, first off, okay, the Avs get the win. Man, Georgiev was something else, absolutely special. But the underlying thing here, to me at least, and in the spirit of the holidays and everything, is we got Honest Abe Cale Makar. Tell us about that story. He waves off a penalty. I have listeners that are torn on the whole thing, but tell us about how that went down.
Yeah, I got to say, it's one of the more bizarre things I think I'll ever witness watching an Avalanche game. But essentially, I think it was maybe midway to late in the first period, Cale Makar is chasing down a puck around his own net, and it looks as if he's tripped, and the penalty is called, and the thought is, all right, Avs get a big power play here before the period ends. But then here's Cale, as you mentioned, Honest Abe in the spirit of giving, you know, whatever you want to credit it to, actually goes and tells the official, hey, that's not a trip, I lost an edge there, don't call it. And, you know, to your credit and to what you just said there, you know, I think it maybe is tearing the fan base apart in terms of what your opinion is, because the Avs lose 2 minutes of, you know, vital power play time where they could have scored in a very tight game. But there's Cale Makar just being the guy that everyone kind of knows him to be. You know, he's not overly interested in doing anything but the right thing in this situation. And give the guy credit, because I don't know that there's many players in the league who would have done the same.
I have decided, Kyle, I thought about this for a very long time, probably too much, but I think he did the right thing. I like it. I do. I mean, I don't know. In this day and age, we don't see that kind of stuff. Guys are looking for calls all the time, and it's hard. You're hard-pressed to get that kind of honesty. And I'm saying, even if they would have lost, I still feel pretty good about it. It's a pretty neat story. I don't know about Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Finals, though. Maybe not.
Right, exactly. I think time and place is everything. And even Cale admitted, you know, the first thing that everyone wanted to know in the post-game locker room was, hey, did you do this on purpose, and why did you do this? And you know, throughout that chat, at one point he said, you know, looking back, I don't even know why I did it. But, you know, it was just the morality of the thing. But really, you know, I kind of side with you in terms of the overall implications of him doing that. Number one, they won the game. You know, if they lose, then all of a sudden this becomes a storyline. Why would Cale do this? You know, in a tight loss, this could have been the difference. You know, I think the narrative changes a little bit. But in the same, you know, vein as that, Cale is also building a lot of goodwill with officials, right? I mean, I would imagine that refs across the league would see him doing that. And that might influence just the way they look at him as a player and how he interacts with officials on the ice. Because we've seen Makar get testy at times with officiating. There's been a few games where there's been a couple questionable calls against him. Cale and Bednar have talked about that. But at the end of the day, you know, the officials got to look at this and say, hey, wow, here's a guy who's, you know, going to uphold the rule of law, even if it's, you know, going to be a detriment to his team. And that's saying something.
It really is. And how was Bednar on all of it? Was he pretty cool with it? Did he understand? What was his response?
He was interesting. You know, I'm at practice now, and we're going to be chatting with him in, you know, the next 30 minutes or so. So I'm sure there'll be some follow-ups. But he told us he hadn't chatted with Cale about that play yet. He kind of wore a little bit of a grin. He had no problem with it. You know, he mentioned it was early in the game, so maybe it didn't truly influence the outcome. You know, a lot happened after that play. But, you know, he kind of just said, typical Cale. I don't know that anyone in that room or or on the bench was really surprised, just because, you know, that's sort of the guy that we've come to know in the media. And, you know, it's nice to see that being authentic in the games as well.
He must have grown up watching Liar Liar maybe too much, you know, Jim Carrey, something like that.
Yeah, as long as it's just this one game, I think that's good. So let's see if it continues tomorrow night.
I got a lot of respect for it. But you know what else I got a lot of respect for, Kyle, is this team is, you know, we talked about it when we had you on last time. It's just so riddled with injuries, but they have found ways to kind of ride out this storm. We talked about December being a very tough month for this team. And again, it started out pretty rocky, but they're getting some guys back, I suppose. But for the most part, they have found a way just to go out and win some gritty games. What, they've won like 4 out of the last 5 games.
You're right. Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, there was a moment sort of in the thick of that injury mess where, you know, it was the zombie avalanche out there basically with half the lineup coming up from Loveland, where they, you know, they played with a lot of effort, but they just kind of looked outmatched in a couple games. But then Valanciunas comes back, Arturi Lehkonen comes back, and kind of slowly we've seen this team look like it looked at the beginning of the year before all these injuries took place. And yeah, the way that they've been able to win in a variety of ways to me is also impressive. You know, we know this team being very capable of blowing opponents out with kind of that firepower. But then that game last night, I mean, 0-0 going into overtime. I can't recall an Avalanche game, you know, that's been that way since I've been covering the team the past couple of years here. So, of course, Georgiev standing on his head, but guys like Alex Rodriguez, E-Rod coming up big in the shootout was just a beautiful move. You know, they're just getting contributions across the lineup. And, you know, just walking into practice earlier, you know, here's Nathan MacKinnon on the opposite practice ice, so not with the team, but doing some drill work. So he's getting closer to a return. So I think once Nate's back in this lineup, everything else gets a little bit more settled, and this is really going to look like the group we expect it to be. But give them credit for essentially staying above 500 throughout all this injury mess, because I think that was kind of the goal through this, and the Avs have done a good job to accomplish that.
Yeah, I got to feel like you're almost playing with house money, because I mean, a lot of people thought, oh, December's just going to tear this team apart. Here they are. Kyle Fredrickson joining us, Colorado Avalanche beat writer at the Denver Gazette. How much of this credit goes to Jared Bednar? Because, you listen to the press conferences, Kyle, and you read your quotes that you're putting out in the Gazette, and you hear all these amazing things like, hey, there's no excuses. I don't care who it is. We'll find better guys. We'll find other players if they're not going to come out and play. And to me, as a reader, as a listener, I'm going, I love that. And obviously the players have somewhat responded to that.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I think that's been the mentality for this team throughout all of this. Like, you know, how do you stay competitive and want to, you know, do your best when so many guys are out of the lineup and it's a tough job every night. But yeah, Jared is kind of instilled this championship mindset with this group that just average or just okay, you know, it isn't good enough. You know, like Martin Tout, he got sent back for a couple weeks, you know, because he had two games that were really poor. And you know, that didn't meet the Avs standard. And they don't want to be shifting guys back and forth. They want Tout to stay here. You know, he's a first-round pick. But they're not going to settle for anything less. And so I think that speaks volumes to the trust that the Avs have in their AHL development program right now. I mean, it just helps so much that Loveland is just down the road. They can shuffle these guys in and out of the lineup. But yeah, they're really not settling for mediocrity. And, you know, of course they want to help develop guys, but this team feels like it, you know, has the roster to win a championship. So, you know, why would you accept anything less, even with a lot of guys out of the lineup? So it's been helpful for this team to be on a homestand right now. You know, they finished the fifth game in a row that they've played at Ball Arena. And so I think that's helped guys be more healthy and not have to go on that rigorous travel schedule. And around the holidays, you know, that doesn't hurt as well. But, yeah, you know, you love where the team is at this point, you know, despite all the adversity, for sure.
Well, and you wonder how it's going to pay off in the late month of January, you know, late into the month of January or something like that, when you are not, you know, pretty much fully healthy, or hopefully anyway, knocking on wood. You just wonder how battle-tested you were in the month of December, and then when you start getting guys back, you know, I don't want to say it seems easier, but maybe it does when you get a MacKinnon back on the ice.
Yeah, absolutely. And then all of a sudden your depth is tested, right?
Right.
All those guys, you know, who've been playing all year, who maybe they don't need in the playoffs immediately, well, another guy gets hurt. Well, you know, instead of relying on a name and a face that you're not used to, you know, there's several, you know, forwards throughout this group who've been sent up and down who have that experience, whether it's Cowd or Foodie or a number of these guys who've looked really impressive at times. So, you know, finding that consistency in the lineup is what separates some of those AHL guys from being here full-time. But, yeah, I mean, once you get your stars back, all of a sudden, you know, this team looks a lot more talented just because that depth is so much more experienced.
It's so refreshing, though, when you hear, and I'm not knocking Nathaniel Hackett, but when you hear Jared Bednar, the way he talks about this team, the honesty that he speaks with, and I'm not saying Hackett's not honest or anything like that, but you could just see it, man. There's a couple of weeks ago, he's just seething. He's very upset, and there's no excuse in his brain at all, and there's not a lot of, like, you know, everybody's working real hard. No, it's if they're not going to be good enough, we got to find people that are, and it's, like we said earlier, sounds like message received. So
yeah,
got a lot of respect for that guy.
Yeah, and you know, I like it as a reporter when he gets a little spicy with us. You know, Jared sometimes will have very short, quick answers, but it's reflective of him and the mood of his team and sort of, you know, what they're trying to accomplish. But it's always honest and kind of straight to the point. And you know, no, like you were saying, no knock on Hackett, but it never really feels like a sales pitch with him, right? He's not trying to sell us anything. You know, he's just trying to answer questions to the best of his ability, and you know, if that means holding those guys accountable in a way that other coaches might not, you know, you gotta love it.
Yeah, no question about it, and we'll see what this team can do. Like you said, finishing up that home stand tomorrow night against Montreal, and then back out on the road on Friday. So Kyle, my man, I can hear the pucks, I can hear it rocking and rolling. No better place to be, my friend.
Absolutely, thank you, man, I appreciate it.
Alright, Kyle, Colorado Avalanche beat writer at the Denver Gazette. He's there. He's watching practice, and they're hopeful that they can get McKinnon back. He's doing drill work with the team today, so obviously those are good signs that he's out and about. But you got to feel good if you're an Avalanche fan right now. You're 4-1 in your last five games, and you win the shootout last night. Yeah, you got to be feeling really good about your situation. 31 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out of here and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Ronnie sees the seas part, and he brings the house down.
Back, that looked like a chippy for him.
Get out! Oh, Ronnie the Body!
Now Utah State man-to-man.
Whoa. Ronnie straight away through.
From that win on Tuesday, see if the Lobos can get past it. Ronnie with a hard drive and a scoop shot over Forsling. And Ronnie aggressive early with six. 67-60, CSU ball. Stevens, nice pocket pass to Ronnie, and he lays it in.
Looks like they've done that a couple times before, huh?
On the wing is Moore. Moore finds Roddy, and Roddy with his third dunk of the ball game.
David Roddy back in the state of Colorado tonight. He is, for Colorado State, he finished in the top 10 in scoring in his career. Top 10 in rebounds, just at 10 in his career with Colorado State. Helped lead this team to, you know, one of a few appearances as far as going to March Madness. Not many trips to the NCAA tournament. They did go up against Michigan last year. You know, they went a couple of times in the late 2012, I think, and 13 or something like that. But not, you know, a handful of times that they went, especially recently. I mean, they went the 2011-12s with Tim Miles and Larry Stacey. They hadn't gone before that. They went one time in the 2000s. But this was a team that was really special to the point where we were talking about, you know, those poll questions. Is this the best Colorado State team we've ever seen last year? And a lot of people argued and had some great teams to throw out there. But this is definitely one of them. That was one of them. And David Roddy is going to be remembered forever as one of the greatest Colorado State Rams basketball players of all time. Maybe not the best. Depends on who you look at. I mean, as far as the statistical categories and stuff, you know, he's in the top 10 of two of the big ones in scoring and rebounding. But he's not top five. He's not top three. But he's one of the good ones. And man, we had so much fun with him last year. We had the David Roddy Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. That was one of our first NIL deals that we did, and of course that was a blast, documenting his season throughout, and then ultimately seeing him get drafted in the first round by Memphis. And he is, I'll admit, I knew he would be a first rounder. I said that throughout the season last year. I knew he was going to be a first rounder. I did not think he would actually be a legitimate piece to their puzzle this year. I thought he would be a fine, you know, rookie that is on the bench for the most part, sees some time on occasion, but really isn't, you know, a big difference maker for this team. I would say that he is a pretty big difference maker for Memphis. I mean, they're the top seed right now in the West. Typically, when you're the top seed, you know, you most of the guys on your team are doing some pretty good things. Now, Roddy right now, he's averaging 6.7 points per game, about 3 boards per game, an assist per game. And he's getting he's played in 29 games. He's averaged about 19 minutes per game. Those are legitimate numbers for a rookie. That's not the focal point of this team. Obviously, we know everything goes through Ja Morant. And when Desmond Bane's healthy, Dylan Brooks, Steven Adams, those are their guys that really make this team tick statistically. But Roddy is a big piece of that. And, you know, take the Roddy factor out of it tonight. This is a marquee matchup. Memphis and Denver. Huge. Number one and number two. When you play the prediction game and you're just looking around at these standings, you know, it's Memphis, Denver, Phoenix, the Pelicans, top four. Do you think that that's how this thing's going to end? Portland's come back down to earth. They're 17. Again, when I say come back down to earth, it's not like there are a lot of games behind. But Portland was at the very top running away for a while. Damian Lillard gets hurt for a little bit, comes back, but still, they're sitting around a 500 record. Nobody's pulling away just yet in the West. It's pretty tight. Memphis is 19-10. Denver's 18-11. Phoenix is 19-12. Pelicans are 18-12. So there's like a game and a half difference between number one and all the way down to like number seven. So this is a fairly significant game. You know, almost 30 games into the season.
Yeah, I mean, in the West, you don't really see, outside of Memphis and Denver, any team that's really blowing you away in terms of, wow, that team looks complete. That team looks like they're ready to go win a title. I'm not sure I could say that about Memphis just yet. I haven't watched enough of them this year, but I'm getting more and more comfortable saying the Nuggets have a legit shot at winning a title.
Yeah, my biggest fear is honestly in the Eastern Conference is when you get to the finals, how do you match up with Boston? I know Milwaukee just jumped over them. They're 22-8. I just think Boston is terrifying. But as far as the West, this is the matchup. This is the team that should scare you the most. Golden State's without Steph Curry for a while. Here they are again, man. The Warriors are 15-16. They could be really in trouble the next couple of weeks. If Denver is on, they're kind of like weird. It's weird. They kind of remind. It's what the CU Buffs are going through. This is basketball, though. There are certain teams that when they're at their best, you say, that's a championship caliber team. That's a team that could go to the NBA Finals. At their worst, they can give up a 10-point lead to the Lakers in the fourth, even though Anthony Davis is out. So at their worst, they're not a bad team. But that's the thing. Which version of the Nuggets are you getting tonight? Are you getting the Joker that's flirting with the triple-double, Aaron Gordon that's dominating the paint, and Jamal Murray that is moving around the floor with the ball, without the ball, but he's hitting those little jumpers. Jumpers, right, you know, free throw line extended, little jump backs. Is he hitting those? Jump backs. That's where you, and again, are you getting production from the bench? Is Bones Highland trying to play, you know, hero ball, or is he playing within himself and coming up with big plays? Bruce Brown, is he giving you your defense? Again, they have the pieces, but all those pieces do need to work together, because I don't know that you count on Joker scoring 40. Dallas counts on Luka carrying them for 40, 35, whatever. They need him to do that more often than not. The Nuggets don't always need the Joker to do that. They needed him to do that against Charlotte, but they don't always need him to score 30 points. In fact, the first 10, 15 games, he wasn't doing that at all.
I think with Jokic, it's the team has so much respect for him and the team plays through him that if he's just going in the paint trying to get points, let him do it. He's going to end up with 30, 35 points anyway. We just have to, you know, make our shots whenever he gets us the ball.
Yeah.
Other nights, it's, hey, this is team basketball. Jokic is just passing the ball around.
The thing is, like tonight, you watch the game tonight, and you're going to see the first period. You're going to know right off the bat if it's going to be a Joker kind of night or if he's going to go, all right, let me see where the pieces fall here a little bit. And, oh, Jamal pops 9 points in the first. Okay, that's going to be the kind of night. It's going to be a Joker 23-point night, and I'm letting Jamal go, and he's going to go 17. And Aaron Gordon's going to score 18. Or, if those guys are quiet right off the bat, Joker's going to take over in the second, when he comes back in for a second stint. Eastside Chris Brady, during Mr. Clark's show, Clark and the Coach, he has an NBA insider informing him to bet the house tonight on Denver. Can you get him on again to expound? Well, let me just tell you this. I am that NBA insider. I told him that this morning. Am I right, Clark? Was that me? He came in and said, how you feeling about the Nuggets tonight? And I said, tonight's their night. TNT. They're going to be up for this game. It's a big game. And I do think Jamal Murray is going to give you a heck of a game tonight. I really do. So I looked last time. I think the Nuggets are they a favorite in this game or not? I mean, it has gone back and forth. Let's see. The Grizzlies are a one-point dog tonight. But the ESPN matchup indicator, the matchup predictor, says the Nuggets have a 40.7% chance to win. Why do they do that to us, Angel? Why does it say that the Nuggets are a one-point favorite but only have a 40% chance to win?
I'm not sure. Their pick center, I guess, is different from their ESPN analytics.
So they've got their know-it-alls.
They got the nerds in the back room, and they got the businessmen up front. They're making the bets.
So the wise guys are saying the Nuggets are one-point dogs.
The analytics show are
in a corner somewhere.
Listen,
with
Jeremy,
their
I
pocket
have intel
protectors
that says the Grizzlies are one-point dogs.
How do you feel about that?
I like it. I like the Nuggets at home. They're a very good home team. They've shown that so far this year. You know, they're very battle-tested on the road, but when they get back home, they just feed off of that crowd. It's going to be a fun night. And there's no school, no reason you shouldn't be at this game in Denver.
Let's go.
Unless you're here at UNC at the game.
I know. That's
with
a good
Jerry.
One.
It's Bears and Jerry can, or Nuggets and Rodney.
You can listen to – listen the. UNC's tonight at 6, right? Pre-game starts at 5:30?
Mm-hmm.
I think ESPN, I think this game's at 8 o'clock tonight.
Yep.
So, let's go. You could drive down to Denver and be tuning in, listening to Jerry Schimmel, and go check this game out. It's going to be a good one. Good night of basketball coming up. I like the Nuggets tonight. I do. I like the Nuggets to win. If I'm betting on spreads or point totals and stuff, I'm saying Jamal Murray. Is there an over-under for Jamal Murray or anything tonight? Let's see what it is. I bet you, Angel, I bet you it is like 17 and a half for Jamal. And the question will be, do you go over that or under that? Let's just make sure. Why is Jamal Murray? Is he not playing? Oh, we better be playing tonight or I'm changing my...
He was at shoot-around today saying he felt a lot better
about
his knee.
We don't want that. We don't want him to... Well, we want him to feel better, but we don't want it to even be a question.
Also, MPJ is likely, realistically, coming back Friday.
Yeah, and with MPJ, I'm just like not even counting on it anymore. I'm just... Oh, when he's back, he's back. That'll be exciting. And then we'll go for I don't know. I don't see any spread. I don't see any over-under for Jamal Murray, but I'm guessing it's 17.5. You going over that? You going under it?
Go over.
I'm going over that tonight. I don't know if it's 17 and a half or not. I haven't seen it, but that's what I'm doing. He said, Chris, oh, man, I got to move. Just bet my house.
My house city, baby.
Brady, I'm a little concerned because is it just me or do the Nuggets seem to not really play well on national TV? I think it's in their dome. Yeah, but sometimes they don't play well.
Are they aware of that they're on national TV?
I'm sure.
Because doesn't altitude do every game anyway?
Yeah, but TNT's going to be Reggie and all those famous
guys. That's like post-game stuff when they make fun of Jokic.
Well, no, Reggie will be calling the game.
True.
Well, I don't know if Reggie... Do they have two different teams, or do they do them both?
But they're not looking at the scorer's table. They'll go when they go Jamal check will. In and say, oh, what's going on?
Jamal will.
Well, he just has fun.
Joker won't. Joker doesn't care.
Unless he's in a joking mood, because he usually is with TNT. He likes messing with Shaq and Chuff.
I love TNT.
Who's going in the tree tonight? Shaq?
Probably. I think their broadcast crew is the best. It's better than all the NFL pregame shows, all that stuff. It's amazing.
It's iconic.
They're hilarious. They're entertaining.
I couldn't name one other pregame, like other than College Game Day, but that changes every week.
It's
the most just recognizable pregame show.
They're just real, man. It's all relaxed. Watch an NFL pregame show or postgame, and it's like they'll talk about negatives about the team, but you're not going to get Charles Barkley on saying,
it's not a natural conversation.
They're not good because this guy doesn't step up in big moments. They joke with each other. Yeah.
Shaq and Chuck will just roast each other, and then Ernie just kind of sits there with his bow tie and just laughs about it.
Oh, and Ernie does a good job, though, because if it weren't for Ernie, man, that show would really go, it would be all over the damn place. Ernie's a great host at that. One of my favorites, two of them, Shaq ate the chip. And then when he fell, he was turning around to run up there and go jump to where Kenny the Jet goes.
I love when they just pull up a tweet like during their show
that's so
like,
good.
Mocking them about what they're wearing or something.
Are you concerned about TNT? See, I'm not right now. I'm not concerned right now. I'm concerned about the Nuggets and their ability to play crappy teams and play up. They've always been like that. I don't know if it's something in Colorado. I don't know. But that's always been the Nuggets, whether it was Malone or Shaw or Carl or whatever. It always seemed like that.
They're not on national TV a ton anyway, so it's hard to say if it really affects them.
Are they on 12 times, 13 times?
Something like that.
I'll tell you, I'm glad it's not like a Sunday afternoon game. Those get to me that they're terrible during the day.
Oh, it's NBA Tuesday night.
Tuesday night, big night. I like them tonight. I like them to get it done. And I think Jamal Murray has a special night. Quick break coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets Podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
$12.54. On the Rocks Liquor, bringing us our game beer of the week. It's a Christmas ale, of course, from Breckenridge Brewing. Pick up selections from Breckenridge or any of your favorite adult beverages. You can use the drive-thru or come inside. Open 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. every single day. They will be closed, though, on Christmas Day. Can you blame them? So get in there before. Start stocking up on all your Christmas goodies coming up this weekend. Sunday, Christmas time. I feel like my shopping's all done. That's all taken care of. But I feel like, Angel, I haven't taken the time to sit down and watch Christmas movies. I haven't done that enough. Sports has been dominating the TV, as it typically does. But I want to watch. I did watch Christmas Vacation. I watched Home Alone. Half of Home Alone 2. I think that's it. That's all I've watched so far. That's not bad.
No, it's not bad. As long as you hit the favorites or the classics.
Well, I'll watch Christmas Story. I'll watch that one. That's on TBS like 24/7 for like 2 days. So I'll watch that one. I got to watch that one. And you're hearing that the sequels or the whatever it is pretty good.
I heard it was good.
I'll give it a shot. I'll give it a shot. I liked, did you like the Tim Allen's Santa Claus? Did you like that one?
I liked the first one.
The first one was great.
The second one, I didn't see enough. The third one, I kind of enjoyed.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that with Martin Short was in that?
Mm-hmm.
It was just
Jack Frost.
It just got so wacky.
It was wacky, but at that point, I knew it was the end of that series.
But then
thought
they did
it was
another,
the end of the
they're
series.
Doing another one.
Well, that's a TV show now.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I guess.
No. First one is just so classic, though. It's, well, it's so different than the other two.
It's not over the top. There's not a lot of goofy. I mean, it's still Santa and elves and stuff, but... It was, I liked the elves.
It's kind of emotional.
Yes.
Like his kids, like his parents are divorced. He's out of the Christmas spirit almost, and he's got to figure out how he's going to. It's a very heartfelt story.
Really love that movie. I watched that movie a lot back in the old VHS days. That was a. Just,
she gets the board game at the end. And it's like, oh, Christmas. Yes.
Yeah. The little globe, that globe mm-hmm. that they have, and then the way they make that hot chocolate. The
yes.
hot chocolate looks
oh, yeah.
so freaking good, man. That's one. I'm going to watch that one. I'm going to give that one a shot. That's a great one. Elf's good. Haven't watched Elf. My wife likes Elf. Let me just preface that. She's a big Elf fan, so I've just become a fan of it because she cracks up so much throughout it.
I can't get behind it. I like Elf. I didn't watch it enough to be like, oh, my God, I love this movie.
Yeah, it was never awesome. I mean, the acting's kind of weird. It's a Will Ferrell movie. I mean, it's whatever. But my wife loves it so much, and she just dies laughing the whole time that it makes it enjoyable for me. All right, we still have Jerry Schimmel coming up, the voice of the UNC Bears, the NFL playoffs, monster games, starting Thursday. I know, it's Jags-Jets. Who knew? We'll talk about all that next. We'll be right back.